You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Souls Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. And I'm your host, Mike Domini. Joining me today is Andre Brisson. He's the CTM, he calls himself, the Chief Troublemaker and founder of Objective Engineering and Tactical Breakthroughs. We're going to have a fascinating conversation about Andre's background and what has led him on his entrepreneurial journey. Andre, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's fantastic to meet you.
Yeah, same here. It's glad to be here.
So you are the founder of Objective Engineering and Tactical Breakthroughs. And, you know, I've really enjoyed getting to know you through your website a little bit and getting to learn a little bit about you. But I would like for you to share your story about how you got into being an entrepreneur and what you offer people based on your unique point of view.
Yeah, that's right. Unique point of view is usually what I'm told is common with me. Actually, when I was in university for engineering, we had these work terms, mandatory work terms. And my last work term before I graduated, I worked for a small consulting company. And when I finished that 4 months there, I went to the owner. I said, "You need me. We can grow this place very well." And in the back of my mind, it says either in 10 years I own this place or I'm bought into this place.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I would say, is when I started my entrepreneurial journey, because after that I took it as my own. That was Q Engineering. And just had the freedom to do whatever I want, wherever we wanted to bring it. As long as we made money, I had fun. That was kind of the mantra of the thing. And we did a lot of unique stuff, different types of equipment, not your stereotypical structural engineering. So it was a nice place to be. So yeah, 10 years later, I bought in, brought in a new partner because my original boss and mentor was going to retire. And that didn't last long because the original guy wanted to stick around because he'd start making money. And they did not want to grow. They liked where they were. And I didn't like that. That was kind of like, it was anti-me. I always wanted to grow and do more and try more. So I decided to split off and start Jade Engineers, which was an acronym for Just Another Damn Engineer. Started that for a good 7 years. I wrote this self-managing company with a team of eight. Then I got bored. Now that I know now, as I got bored with it, I got into a bad partnership and had to close that and then open up Objective Engineering. And then at the same time, I got diagnosed with severe ADHD, also with Asperger's, and made a lot of sense in my previous struggles, entrepreneurial-wise, life-wise, family-wise. And then I decided to start Tactical Breakthroughs, where I can help high-achieving ADHD entrepreneurs understand themselves.
Love it. I love the sharp vision you had at the beginning of that. We say, all right, I'm gonna join this, and in 10 years, I'm either going to own it or I'm gonna buy in. Mm-hmm. And having that vision, that really then it panned out exactly that way. That's I also resonate with what you said when you feel like the people that you were working with just didn't want to grow, didn't want to change. And I know so many entrepreneurs find themselves in that position when they're working for other people initially or with other people, and that it's that same pace, that same drive that isn't shared can make it really difficult to function in that capacity. And
it's very restrictive.
Yeah. Can you talk some more about what that is like in that situation and how you were able to kind of get out of that?
Yeah, it was very restrictive. And then we were just at constant, the one partner had to be at the other end of the spectrum. Excuse me. At the other end of the spectrum while I was at the other to appease the middle guy. And it just became a constant tug of war battle, and it became a toxic environment. And then I realized myself one day looking in the mirror is I'm the problem. They're happy where they are, both of them. So me trying to tip that balance was never going to work. It's like a new term of insanity is no matter how many times I changed my path, I'm hitting the same wall. So I decided to, you know, take the leap of faith. I didn't want to be at 65 going, what if, what if, what if. I'd rather try and fail and say I tried. And then
I love that.
Yeah.
I love your perspective of your title, the Chief Troublemaker, and how often that's seen as a negative thing. People coming in and changing things and wanting things to be different is often seen as trouble, and that's a bad thing. But you've embraced that role and have made it really the stimulus for growth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I never saw it that way. It was my one of my first employees I hired at Jade Engineers, who's now my engineering manager and new partner in Objective. He told me one day, he says, the more you're out in the field, the more you get us into trouble. And I always get more work. So that's the other underlying joke with that. But yeah, it is. I sit on technical standard technical committees. And yes, I'm seen there as a troublemaker because I always challenge the status quo. I always do what's right for the document, and I'm not afraid to say anything or challenge the status quo. And if I'm convinced otherwise, then yeah, that makes sense. And we keep moving. But as long as we're moving forward, one step forward and not being stagnant or go behind, that just drives me crazy.
It's the progress. It's correct. The always driving forward no matter what. And you need someone with your perspective on issues to be able to be that driver of change, and the challenger role is an important person to have in a business, and as an entrepreneur it's an important skill to have, and that's so interesting that you have been able to embrace that. You mentioned being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult, and you said that may help make sense of a lot of things, kind of a lot of things fit into place at that point.
Oh yeah, like it just to explain all my struggles for my 44 years at that time. It explained how I got bored with Jade Engineers. It became self-managing. There was no problems to solve. There was a status, as you know, it was just same old. It was recurring. It was very successful, but I got bored with it. So this new opportunity came up, sounded interesting. My gut said it's not a good idea, but I still went with it because I thought I can change it. It was new, novel, and then that turned to a very bad situation. And then I had two young kids, and then it was three perfect storms that collided into one tempest, I call it. And then that really brought out all the symptoms. I really destroyed relationships with clients, with my family, my friends, and then just realized one day I need to get help and figure this out. And I went to prove that it was not ADHD, because that was too convenient of an answer. And it turned out it was severe. So the systems, my psychiatrist looked at me and said, you shouldn't have graduated university, excuse me, or have successful businesses with the severity of it. But you created systems and routines and habits to overcome these symptoms unknowingly.
That's amazing. And now you have a heart for entrepreneurs who have ADHD as well, and you do some. How do you help them? How do you what is your advice and inspiration for those people?
Well, for me, my unique ability is problem solving. I see things, I see solutions and paths where other people don't see, especially on problems people give up on. And it's just trial and error, try. So, I basically sit down with the people and I hear and listen to what they're saying, what's missing, and what they're not saying. And they come up with strategies and solutions to their current struggles within all the symptoms and whatnot. I'm developing some tools that people can use to think things through and to also organize themselves and create strategies and new habits. The core of it is routines and habits. As long as we can keep the routines and habits consistent, then our ADHD brains can handle it. And it has a lot to do with mental energy conservation.
Go
ahead.
Well, I was going to reference your website, tacticalbts.com. I'll drop this in the link here when the episode is live so people can come learn more about how to leverage your superpower to help identify problems in their entrepreneurial environment.
And yeah, and really... the one place that I am good is I'm good at facilitating a group of people trying to work out problems and then have everyone work together to help joint solutions. So that's want to get these mastermind groups going with high achieving ADHD entrepreneurs and also the gifted adults too. There's it's an underserviced market and under research too.
Oh, no doubt.
Hopefully we can bring that more awareness out to people and understanding. And then, you know, the neurodivergent world is a unique one. It's just not socially accepted or as under the social norm, as they say, quote unquote. So
well, I'm so glad that you're championing that underseen aspect of entrepreneurs who maybe don't feel like they have a community. Maybe they don't feel like they have the support. Maybe they feel like they're in the wrong job. You know, maybe they see it as a disadvantage. So
that's a very common feeling.
Is that common?
Well, there I'm either in the wrong job or I'm not good enough because I'm not keeping up with the other people. Like executive, it's also a disorder of executive functioning skills, short-term memory or working memory, as they call it. And then if we're not interested, it's very, very hard for us to focus.
Did you ever feel like quitting and thinking that entrepreneurship was not for you or was that never a struggle?
At least once a month since 2007.
Oh, a frequent struggle.
I think, and honestly, if there's an entrepreneur now that says they've never thought about it, then I think they're lying. But there's always that once time a month, you're like, well, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And then the next morning, either get up or severely when you got a bunch of beatdowns by situations or projects, you know. That's what I keep saying. Another term I use, I got persistent resilience. So no matter how many times I get kicked down, I always get back up no matter what, even though I should probably stay down. But I always try and figure out why I was brought down and avoid it the next time.
Persistent resilience. That's a good thing to like stick on a notepad right next to your computer or something. Like keep that frequent nearby and really grind through those times, the monthly even, when you just feel like, I could do something somewhere else, but
at the same time to go going. Back and think about I'm going to work for someone else. I've been unemployable since I was a teenager, and I realized that, so it'd be very difficult to go back and work for someone else.
Right, exactly. It'd quit to where? Just a place that you'd be even more dissatisfied, and you're going to rise to the top and start leading again because that's just the way you're made.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. That's so good. So. I ask guests in this entrepreneurial segment often about a breakthrough moment where, you know, life was one way and then something happened or someone said something and then you discovered clarity to reach a new level. Now, I'm going to assume here that we've already touched on that and talk about that point when you embraced that diagnosis of ADHD and Asperger's. So... what is life like now after that moment?
Clarity, understanding and awareness. You know, I understand the limitations of the ADHD. I have identified where I try to beat my brain in a way. So I do know certain situations or certain people will aggravate the symptoms, and I try to avoid them or at least minimize them. But a lot of it has to do with more about being aware and then kind of taking action before it's too late. And knowledge. Like I'm a big researcher, so I've researched I researched it inside and out to figure it out and to better understand it. And then try to alleviate these symptoms. Like for one, if I'm extremely tired or at the end of the day, I got such mental burnout. If it's been a very big, big focus day, I go home and I'll tell everyone I just need 15 minutes by myself to recoup and do a nice transition. Because the transitioning between task or things for the ADHD brain is like it's a shock to the system. So we got to take more time in between and better be better prepared for these. It's going to happen.
Sure.
So having that said, you know, the impulsivity, just being aware has helped with relationships and just a better understanding of the complications I was creating. And also the people around me being aware of it, that they are also the cause of the complications without realizing it, and educating them has helped it tremendously.
It sounds like you're able to be a better student of yourself once you had the diagnosis, once you had that clarity. You're able to use your intentional research that you've always had a bent towards, but able to kind of turn that inward and real and start to become a student of your own strengths and weaknesses.
And I've been doing that for over 20 years, actually. It's just that the ADHD was that final puzzle piece that kept the bridge up, that final piece of brick that kept it stable. But I've been going through and trying to find myself. And at the time, I was actually identifying strengths and weaknesses to understand why I was not working in the neurotypical world. So I was trying to build up on these weaknesses to be more socially accepted, would be a better term. So I've done like the Colby assessment, the Strengths Finder. I've probably done all the ones under the table. I've read on pretty much a lot of the books. But yeah, I've been a student myself for a very long time. And then the ADHD, Asperger's definitely was the last key, the key puzzle aspect to keep it stable.
Well, that's interesting. On a personal note, my father was diagnosed with Asperger's in his 40s as well. And it does remind me of that clarity, because then things started to make sense and started to realize, okay, so not everybody sees the world the way I do. And here's where I have a gap, you know, that maybe it comes easy to other people, it doesn't come easy to me. And he was able to really study all of the things that other people, maybe it came naturally to them, but then he's actually more perceptive of people's nonverbals. He's actually more perceptive because it's conscious for him.
Exactly.
It's actually developed into a bit of a superpower.
And those are cognitive decisions we got to make as Asperger's. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. I'll have a cognitive thought of, I must smile more. That's the Asperger's side. While neurotypicals or everyone else, they just know. It's natural. And then the other thing too with ADHD and Asperger's is we're a lot more sensitive. We feel emotions and feelings intensely and immediately, not a slow, gradual thing. So it's almost like a fight and flight response. And, you know, a lot of times I'm told, you know, just let it go. You're making a big deal out of nothing, but it's just, you know, the principle of the matter at times, it's like, no, it's an intense feeling and it comes quick. And that's the big difference too. The emotional dysregulation is also a symptom.
You mentioned earlier how you really wanted to try to avoid the diagnosis. You didn't want to be diagnosed. Is that common? Have you found that with other people that you've worked with, that they want to avoid that? And why do you think causes that fear of that becoming clear?
That's a tricky one, because what I was doing was actually saying it is not ADHD because it's too convenient of an answer.
Okay.
I wasn't worried about the label about it. It was just, there's something else way more wrong than me than ADHD. It's just too convenient, so it's got to be more complex. That was my...
So you saw it as just kind of a stick and easy answer on it, and it's like, not, I got to find something a little bit deeper than
right.
that.
Right. But for the majority of people, it has to do with the label, the negative stigmatism that's come out over the last decades, you know, being stupid, lazy, and crazy. Or, you know, pill poppers. We just want to be pill poppers, right? But yeah, the majority of people, it all has to do with the label and the negative connotations that come with it. And then the difficulty to explain to others ADHD and how they're feeling. Like, it's very hard for me to describe to you the impulsivity aspect of it without you understanding. But if I talk to another ADHD person, like, we don't have to even finish our thought. We understand. We completely understand what's going on. And it's very difficult to explain. Like there's no filter. I've been accused all the time of no filter, because theoretically I don't have a filter. My prefrontal cortex doesn't work 100%. What I think comes right out. Right? And that's the impulsivity part of it. And I don't have control. It's like, I got a thought, all of a sudden it's out of my mouth without even thinking about it.
And that's the important thing about community, though, that, like you mentioned, to be able to get a mastermind of like-minded people, to be able to empathize with each other, be able to, yep, you know, finish each other's sentences or let that go unsaid, because we get it, we understand. And especially for a community that is so often misunderstood, it's so important to have other people with the same perspectives on life to be able to break through that together and kind of achieve that clarity at that level. And that's I'm super glad that you are involved in many people's lives in that way.
Thank you. And that's in that group, the high achieving successful entrepreneurs is a group that's just, even doctors nowadays says you're successful, you can't have ADHD. Right. And it says we are successful, we are setting goals, we are achieving them, but we never feel accomplished. There's always something missing and we're never, you know, we're never satisfied. Our definition of success is completely different than most. And then it's got to be interesting. It's got to be novel for us to keep our focus and get into a hyper-focus mode. If it's boring and we have to force ourselves, that takes a lot more energy. And that's not the normal trend of how work is done.
Oh, that's fascinating. Really, the way you define success is going to be different. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be always pushing the envelope. And I like you mentioned at the beginning of our time together, if it's making money, it's fun, right?
Yeah.
And so that's important for our entrepreneurs listening now, is defining what does success look like to you. There's going to be a lot of people who will label you as successful or not based on their definitions of right. success. And what a unfortunate double-edged sword where you said, where there is going to be people who said, well, you're successful, you can't possibly have ADHD, or the flip side, you have ADHD, you can't possibly be successful. And how many people right. are shot down on both sides of that? That's unfortunate exactly. that's the case so often. Mm-hmm. But defining success, what it looks like for you, is vital to your survival as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and we've always been measured externally, and we've always measured ourselves to others, to other people's measuring stick. Like I was listening to a podcast, and like they said, ADHD is the only mental health disorder that has to do with a disturbance to other people.
Interesting.
Right? The way we think, the way we react, the way we do it, always it affects other people, and that is seen as a problem, not necessarily the other way around. So yeah, our success has always been defined by other people, or written in a way that it can be measured and compared by other people. And we got to keep it internally and just find out inside. Like for me, success for me is to set audacious goals and to achieve them as quickly as possible.
Set audacious goals and achieve them as quickly as possible. I love that. I love the clarity that you've achieved. And I really appreciate you sharing that sort of clarity and perspective with people listening here today. We've got a few minutes left here in our time together. And so we're Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, of course, and we love books. We love hearing people's messages. I believe everyone has at least one good book in them. Do you have a book?
No, I don't have a book, but I have seven in mind.
You have seven in mind. Could you share with us maybe some of the ones that you're most excited about or seem like really on the tip of your tongue?
The one I'm kind of probably going to work on first is my habits, routines, and systems that I
habits,
created
routines, and systems.
Yeah, that I created personally and corporately. So that could actually be two books. One I did, basically, I organized my company and structured it so that it would actually take care of my undiagnosed symptoms of ADHD. So it became a lot more efficient, straight to the point, and effective. And then on the personal side is how the habits and routines I created, I was able to focus, get focused, and achieve goals, set them, and move forward. You know, for one thing with ADHD, it's hard. If it's not in front of us, it's gone forever. So how do we keep all those balls in the air, put some balls aside so we can work with 10 instead of 2,000? But still have the other 1,900 available, and we won't forget about them.
You really have to engineer your own system and habits of doing things in order to be successful, like we mentioned,
right?
In the way that you define it.
And if you met one person with ADHD, you've met one person with that ADHD. So it's on a spectrum, and everyone's different. And what I want to do is everyone to create a unique system that works for them, not a general system that just, if it works 50% good, it's got to be work for you, and you work that out also.
I love it. I'm, oh yeah, please.
Yeah. And then the other book is what I've been calling it, the playbook, is send a bunch of tools and certain assessments to use to understand yourself better, your strengths, how to use them, how to communicate that to people, how you work best and structure it and how you solve problems so that it can be in a book form, that this is how I do things. Either it's for you or you can share it with your team. So that's another one I've been thinking about working on for a while.
Oh, I know that there would be a whole host of people who are ready to hear what has worked for you and how they can leverage their perspectives and superpowers to be able to work for them. I think you offer such a mm-hmm. I mentioned unique at the beginning. You said, well, that's, I mean, it's just very common run of the course for me. I know other people feel the same way about their own perspectives, but it really is a superpower, a unique ability of yours.
Thank you.
I would be eager to hear people be able to hear from you in that form as well. So to wrap up today, Andre, if we were to kind of wrap up your entrepreneurship experience and advice in one word, you simplify things. You're a simplifier. What's one word that you would say is an essential character trait for entrepreneurs?
Uniqueness.
Uniqueness.
Yeah. The more success, the best success I've had is when I kept to myself what I'm, my uniqueness, my unique ability, the way I do things. I've been more successful when I try to get away from that, or when I do and try to do what the norm does, that's when I get into trouble. And that's what sets us as apart, is our unique way of looking at things and doing things, engineering wise and tactical.
Finding your unique powers, your unique abilities is where your value is. And as an entrepreneur, if you try to do things the way other people do things, then you're just going to, you know, get lost in the mess of everyone doing the same thing. And you found success for you to be in the form of being unique in doing what only you can do and offer that. Well, Andre, I've really appreciated our time together today. I know that there are people listening today that are going to be, this is ringing a bell, you know, that this is, a conversation they don't get to participate in very often. So thank you for engaging in that conversation here today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Mike. And I'm also in the works of creating a podcast called The Impulsive Thinker, along the lines to support with the tactical.
Well, fantastic. Well, I love that. Well, you know, I'm going to point people to your website, and you've got a blog as well. Is that excellent?
Yes, to hear some more, I guess it's, yep.
All right, I'm going to drop that link as well, so people will be able to find you that way. And thank you. And you really struck a chord with people, and I think it's going to change some lives. So we're excited about that. Well, Andre, I appreciate your time.
And, thank you, Mike.
We will look forward to hopefully chatting again sometime and hearing some of the success that comes from the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I look forward to it too, Mike. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Igniting Entrepreneur Series. Many thanks to our special guest today, Andre Brisson. This is Mike Domini, and I'll see you next time. Stay ignited. Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.